This is The Poetry Reader, a special series from Poetry Off the Shelf. This week, Boundaries, Walls, and Borders. On The Poetry Reader, we hear a reviewer recommend a book of poems for us to read. The book this time is 187 Reasons Mexicanos Can't Cross the Border, Undocuments 1971 to 2007 by Juan Felipe Herrera. The reviewer is poet and novelist Rigoberto Gonzalez, who writes a monthly book review column for the El Paso Times in Texas. He also teaches at Queens College in New York City and is a visiting writer at Rutgers University. Hi, Rigoberto.
Hello, how you doing?
Good. So you describe Juan Felipe Herrera. I'm going to have trouble throughout the interview pronouncing those double R's. Juan Felipe Herrera as an activist writer. And this book collects a lot of his political poems and writings from the last 40 years. Tell us why you're excited about this particular book.
Well, I think the timing of this particular book, it was published last fall, but the buzz and the energy of this book is going to carry over through this year, the election year. And I think for me, it's important. I thought it was so timely that we had a book
Let me interrupt you. This election year, where migrants are really taking it on the chin from the
absolutely,
from the
absolutely. Yeah. There's that climate, the anti-immigrant climate. There's a political hostility. Everything is being directed towards the issue of quote unquote illegal aliens in this country. So I felt that this particular book really allowed the undocumented immigrants a voice.
Yeah. Now, when I hear the words political poetry, I usually just run the other way because I usually think it's going to be angry, kind of simplistic and strident. But the first major poem in this book put my mind at ease because it's so funny.
187 Reasons Mexicanos Can't Cross the Border. Because Lou Dobbs has been misusing the subjunctive again. Because our suitcases are made with biodegradable maguey fibers. Because we still resemble La Malinche. Because multiplication is our favorite sport. Because we'll dig a tunnel to Seattle.
187 refers to Proposition 187, which was put on the California ballot initiative in, 1994? And there was that Proposition 209. Basically, the premise was that these initiatives were designed to deny undocumented aliens the rights to social services, the rights to welfare, the rights to employment and other kinds of civil rights or human rights. In 187 Reasons, he has fun with this.
Because you can take the boy out of Mexico, but not out of the boycott. Because truckers, Arkies, and Okies enjoy our telenovelas. Because we'd rather shop at the flea market than Macy's. Because pan dulce feels sexual, especially conchas and the elotes. Because we'll Xerox tamales in order to survive. Because we'll export salsa to Russia and call it Pikushki.
I mean, so he has fun with it.
Yeah.
And it's making fun of white people, but it's also making fun of Mexicans and Chicanos and other Latinos.
Because the term mariachi comes from the word cucarachi.
I'm guessing that there are exactly 187 verses.
Yes,
I didn't
are.
Bother to count them.
Yes,
but
there are.
He calls this a remix because he originally wrote it in 1994 and then
yes.
He sort of updated it to include Lou Dobbs, I think.
Absolutely. And this is actually the anaphora, the repetition of a word or a phrase, is a strategy that Juan Felipe uses in much of his work. And this is gesturing toward Allen Ginsberg, who's one of his major influences.
You build a fence, we climb the fence. You hammer it up, we rock it down. You draw the line, we erase the line. You reinforce it, we loosen it. You block it, we dig under it. You use night vision, we use huaraches.
Another poem that you pointed out is called Mexican Differences, Mexican Similarities.
Yes.
And I can't think of a simpler scheme for a poem than this one. But at the same time, how effective it is. Set it up a little bit and tell us about it.
Absolutely. Well, in this poem, at the beginning, it seems like he's creating a very precise dichotomy that, you know, we are this way and you are this way. The division is being set up in the first part. And then all of a sudden it shifts.
You play baseball, we play baseball. You watch Oprah, we watch Oprah. You shop at Costco, we shop at Costco. You burn under the sun, we burn under the sun. You call this place California, we call this place California. You have a family, we have a familia. You watch General Hospital, we watch General Hospital.
That's funny. This is a popular culture that binds us together in some
way. Absolutely. And the American influence, but it's very global.
So is he well-known among Mexican-Americans?
Juan Felipe, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Juan Felipe Herrera among Chicano, and I use the word Chicano to designate a politicized Mexican-American, somebody that takes on political activism as part of his or her artistic trajectory. Yes, Juan Felipe is very well-known because he's so prolific. Mm-hmm. Not only does he write poetry, but he also writes children books, he plays. He's also done some prose pieces that are quite well-known, like The Mayan Drifter, in which he travels down to Mexico.
And Juan Felipe himself comes from a migrant worker family. He grew up with his parents who were migrant workers.
Yes.
And tell me a little bit more about how he developed as a poet.
Well, I think like many children of migrant farm workers, there is the first generation fire, we call it, and the opportunity to ascend up the socioeconomic ladder. I mean, that's one particularity of the Mexican population, that it takes just one generation for education to really have that kind of effect. And with Juan Felipe Herrera, I mean, he did seize this opportunity. And that's an opportunity that his parents did not have in Mexico or in the United States. So as a young person growing up in this country, there was the education system that became available to him. And from there, he cultivated this sense of mission.
So he's a poet in this book, at least, that seems to be responding to the news and current events. And I'm thinking mm-hmm. of the poem Señorita X, Song for the Yellow-Robed Girl from Juarez.
Yes.
And Juarez is the place where an extraordinary number of young women have gone missing over the last 10 years and been found murdered. Mm-hmm. And he writes a touching portrait of one sort of anonymous girl.
Yeah, well, she's one of the missing.
Okay, she was never found. Yeah.
Right, and so this phenomena on the U.S.-Mexico border, which are the murders of the maquiladoras, the sweatshop workers, it's more than just the headlines. I mean, people that know the border culture understand that this has been going on, even before it kind of made its way into the mainstream media.
And nobody's ever been arrested? Nobody knows exactly what's going on?
No. And there's actually so much written about it. Lourdes Portillo filmed this wonderful documentary called Señorita Extraviada. The writer, Alicia Gaspar de Alba, wrote a wonderful book, Desert Blood, which kind of speculates what is it, who is responsible for these murders. But none of them really stake a claim to knowing the actual truth. But the search for the truth is what's important, and definitely keeping the memories of these young women alive, which is part of this project on Juan Felipe's Señorita X, Song for the Yellow-Robed Girl from Juarez.
Yellow-robed girl, yellow book schoolgirl, yellow horn-rimmed glasses gazing girl, yellow purse, yellow sign maquila girl woman, yellow time in between fire and desire girl, yellow norte-bound, solitary, lonesome, working hard woman girl, yellow painted hands in the night shuffling home girl, painted by the moon only, guided by the moon only, advised by the moon's dry, sorrowful heart woman. Yellow-robed girl, robed in desert dust arrow light, this is your song. This is your song. This is your song. To remember you, to locate you, to defend you. This is a song of mourning mothers with revolution guitars. This is the song of mumbling fathers with harmonicas conjuring the winds. This is the song of tiny, lost brothers and sisters hiding under mercado glass.
So the Señorita X is actually a symbol mm-hmm. for many of the young women that were never identified or never found.
Mm-hmm. And then towards the end of the poem, he talks about the mothers of these women protesting and moving up north in kind of this fantastical way.
Listen again. The mothers walk the mountain edge with a mysterious sign. The mothers float over Juarez in long, ragged dresses of fire. The mothers weep and organize, the mothers, all the mothers. The mothers move across the desert and the cities. They move. The mothers carry banners and paints and photographs and naked lights. The mothers rip open the earth with their mouths open, open. The mothers flesh out the darkness and beat it with their electric eyes. The mothers walk in hunger, forever, ancient hunger.
So is he exhorting mothers to do this, or is he reporting that mothers are in fact doing this?
I think a little bit of both. Mm-hmm. This is what mothers need to do to kind of transcend this sometimes stereotypical view of the Latina mother, the Mexican mother, the suffering mother, transcend that into something a little more powerful.
Mm-hmm. So what else can you say about this book to encourage people to read it?
I think this is probably the best teaching tool in terms of understanding how poetry can be political. Like you mentioned earlier, the idea that political poetry seems to be a bit of a turnoff. This is designated as being pedantic or preachy. And, you know, my response to that is sometimes critics that dismiss politics in poetry is probably because they don't understand the politics, or critics that want to engage poetry just on the level of craft. I mean, that's an invitation to engage in a comfort zone that critics are familiar with. Well, why aren't critics familiar with talking about politics? I mean, that should be the real question. So what Juan Felipe does so well is engage both the poetry and the politics, the political poetry, what I call it, the literary activism, and he does it so well. So there's no question that this is poetry, that this is crafted and well thought out, but there's also no question that there is a deliberate stance, that there's a very pronounced position here that is very pro-immigrant, that is anti-policies that demonize and that alienate, to use that term, to use it against the government itself, that alienate Mexicans in this country. So this is a good starting point for those people that do not understand the dynamics, or they want to understand what exactly is going on in this country now. Why is it that the only images we see on television are of these quote-unquote illegal aliens? Why don't we see the full spectrum of the Mexicans' contributions to this country?
Yeah. Do you think it's any accident that this book was published in the last year?
No, I think it's a very strategic, I think, in Juan Felipe's part, that it was his way of producing a text and presenting a book that we could use as a teaching tool.
187 Reasons Mexicanos Can't Cross the Border by Juan Felipe Herrera is published by City Lights. You can read blog entries by Rigoberto Gonzalez on our website, poetryfoundation.org. Just click on Harriet. Rigoberto Gonzalez's latest book of poems is Other Fugitives and Other Strangers, published by Tupelo Press. We do want to hear from you. Write a review of this program in the iTunes store or send us an email at podcast@poetryfoundation.org. The music used in this program comes from the Claudia Quintet. For Poetry Off the Shelf, I'm Curtis Fox. Thanks for listening.